I'm really trying to be an example for how other music artists can do their NFT. I think the real cool thing here is like we can create a whole system where it's like you can make bets on artists. You can buy artists' rookie cards and hang on to that collectible and hopefully make a profit or get rewarded for believing in that person early. So that's what I think is super exciting about NFTs, is you really are building a whole financial economy around artists.
This is the Market Madness Podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the Market Madness Podcast. Been a second since we did an episode, but we had a great opportunity with a special guest. So we are back after, I guess, a week or two hiatus. So nothing too long. Today, for y'all, I have a really, really unique episode. Like I said, we got Famous Dill coming on. I'm sure you've heard of Jordan Belfort's song, but he's done so much more since then. Platinum artist, entrepreneur, big crypto guy, 200 million plus streams. Really, really, really a pioneer in this crypto space and now leaning into NFTs. Got the Pudgy Penguin. If you go check out his Twitter, @famous_dill. I'm excited to have him on and pick his brain. I know y'all are going to enjoy this too. Welcome to the pod, Dill.
Gav, what up, man? Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. Let's get it. Let's talk crypto rich, NFTs, Jordan Belfort, all that, man. I'm excited to be here.
Let's hop into it a little behind the scenes for those who have been listening but never knew. All right, let's start out with, you know, the background first, because it sounds like you did a finance degree, but you also got into music pretty early. So when did you get into music? When did you get into finance? And how did those things mix?
Yeah, man. So as a kid, I was always into music, always into like performing. I wanted to be in Green Day, like literally. But I was like realistic. So at the same time, I was never like always trying to be in a band. And But you know, me and Wes Walker, the guy who I made Jordan Belfort with, we were always into music. There's literally videos of us like freestyling on the playground in like eighth grade. I'm literally sitting there beatboxing and Wes is freestyling. And like in high school, we used to DJ parties. So we would do parties and like bar and bat mitzvahs. There were a lot of those around us. We would do school dances. We would do this stuff in high school. So me and Wes were always kind of into that entertainment thing, and we would hang out. And Wes's brother was a DJ. So Wes had a little bit of DJ, like mixing equipment, and he was kind of into music production. And so the Jordan Belfort song actually came about. We were our freshman year of college. So we had just gone to college and we came back for winter break. And I had just seen the Wolf of Wall Street movie. And I was like a business school. I was already in the business school, but I didn't pick a major yet. But, you know, I knew I was into entrepreneurship and I knew that I wanted to be a business guy. And like, I love the Wolf of Wall Street movie, you know, just like any other 18-year-old kid, like just loved the movie. I thought it was so much fun. And so me and Wes were hanging out on winter break. And we were trying to think of a song to make because he showed me this beat and it was dope. And I was just like, let's rap about this guy from the movie, Jordan Belfort. And that's how the song really came together in a few days. But we were freshmen in college at the time and we put it out on SoundCloud. It actually took a couple years before it really blew up on SoundCloud. So then when it blew up on SoundCloud, we went and made a music video in Miami, and that's when things really got going as far as my music career. So it wasn't until we put out Jordan Belfort that, and it took a while for the song to grow, right? So like we put it out and it just organically grew over some time because the movie, you know, the movie was great, but it wasn't like an overnight hit that everybody saw the movie. So it took time for people to see the movie and then understand the meaning behind the song before it really took off. So I was just in college, you know, going to class like normal, doing my finance degree when the music really started picking up.
So what's that experience like? You're like going to college, you're going to class, and this song just starts blowing up out of nowhere.
Yeah, man, it's crazy because I was at Tulane in New Orleans. You know, it's kind of a smaller school, still a fun place, of course, and everybody parties. But I started hearing this song being played at these big parties at like Penn State. My friends would send me videos and be like, yo, check this out. They're playing your song at a party. And it was funny because it took a little while for the song to actually get down to where I was in New Orleans. But the song just started circulating at colleges, especially. And it really just became like like a frat anthem and a college anthem that everybody just knew. And that's ultimately what led us to touring like 50 plus colleges around the country. And so when we made the music video, we actually had the support of people down in Miami who were like all college kids who really heard the song at school and wanted to be a part of the music video. So that's how we ended up putting together this amazing music video that made the song go multi-platinum and now is like 40 million views on YouTube, is really all thanks to the support of all these fans that helped us to create the music video and everything. And so we actually made the music video 100% independently and ended up selling it to the record label. So, you know, that was a learning experience, I'll say, but that's how it went down. So the song really just kind of blew up organically. And then we had to make a lot of things happen after that to take it to where it is today.
So you were working with, is that College Weekly?
Yeah, so College Weekly was basically they made a lot of different college party videos and like trailers and like sorority videos. And it was started by someone who went to Lower Merion High School that me and Wes were friends with. His name was Yofre. And so he had made a lot of videos. We knew him from the area as someone who already made lots of college party videos and already had a brand around that. So when we linked with him, it was like the perfect setup for him to record the music video. And even though it was one of his first music videos, he did an amazing job with it and made the video you see today on YouTube. So this was really done 100% independently without record label or major label support. It was just thanks to some generous people that helped us out and us just getting down there and making it happen and ultimately making a music video that would like kind of rival the movie in a sense, or at least do it justice. You know, the song needed that video that was just over the top.
Were you guys investing at the time, or as you say, stacking penny stocks?
Well, bro, I mean, literally, I was 18 years old in college. Like, I was just figuring out where I could get 20 bucks for weed or something. Like, you know what I mean? So I'm like, and, you know, I'm just trying to get like beer money for the weekend so I can go out in New Orleans. But at the same time, I was interested in that stuff, right? Like, I remember when I first found Bitcoin, I was in high school, and I remember looking at it and being like, wow, if I had any money, I might want to buy some of this Bitcoin stuff. So like my mind was in the right place, but I really didn't have money to invest at the time. Anyway, but when the music started taking off, I ended up getting a record deal and started making money from streaming and started actually making money from touring and all this stuff. And so immediately I was like, wow, I have money now. Like, I'm looking for some different ways to invest. And that's really where crypto comes into the story for me.
How'd you balance college and the touring?
That's a really good question. That was actually an interesting situation. So for, I think it was one semester, I was touring every weekend and still in class and going to school. So what I did is I literally went to like the head of the business school as well as each teacher individually. And the head of the business school happened to be my legal teacher. So I went to him, you know, first, and basically I got approval from every teacher that they weren't going to really count my attendance because I had this thing going on. And they were just going to let me take the tests. And as long as I did the work, I would be good. So literally it would be like every Thursday, Friday night, we would be getting booked for shows, sometimes 2-3 shows a weekend. And so I would be like leaving class on Thursday or Friday, like sometimes taking a test early, like doing whatever I had to do to make sure that I could go to the show. But I pitched it to them the right way. I was like, yo, this is a business opportunity. You know, I'm an entrepreneur. This is an opportunity for me to make a lot of money that could change my life. I'm in business school. I'm still going to do all the work. And so everybody respected that. And I have to say, like, shout out to Tulane Business School for like supporting me through that. So that was like a semester. And then I took a year off after that because it really picked up fast. And so touring while being in class, that was impossibly hard. And that was like my worst grades all through college. But it was really cool experience, of course. And so then I took a year off. I actually had a scholarship down there. So I took a year off, which was the maximum amount of time you could take off. So like I toured and I took a year off, kept touring, made some pretty good money, nothing crazy, but like decent money for a guy in college with my first tour. And then after a year, I came back to finish my finance degree because I wanted to keep my scholarship. So around that time is when I really got big into investing in crypto when I came back to school.
Who introduced you to crypto?
So like I said, it was already on my radar a little bit. Like I had heard of the Silk Road. I was always big into the internet and knew what was going on kind of thing. But my buddy, Mark Cuss Pack, who's on some of my songs, he called me up and he knew that I had some money from touring Jordan Belfort and everything. And he called me up and he said, bro, you need to check out Ethereum. It's going to make us rich. He literally Googled one day how to get rich and found out about Ethereum and he started researching it. And that's how he learned about it. And he called me because I had a little bit of money from music. And so from then I bought some Ethereum and bought some Bitcoin, just like I thought in high school. I finally had some money and I bought some of that Bitcoin finally. And I also bought Ethereum and I got big into both of those and I started learning as much as possible. And that's when I started Advantage Blockchain, which is my consulting and investing company for crypto in Philly.
So I want to back. So I have two questions. My first question is going to be, you know, have you held them? Have you bought in and out? What's happened to that crypto? My other question beforehand, because you were talking about the concerts and touring, what's like the craziest audience you've ever played for? What's the craziest event venue?
Oh man, that's tough. There's been so many crazy experiences and, you know, crazy can have so many different connotations, but I would say one of the best was opening for the Chainsmokers and Fetty Wap when they were, you know, they were just huge then. And there was like, I think it was like 10 to 15,000 in the crowd there. And that was one of the biggest shows ever where we performed Jordan Belfort on the main stage. We actually had like a full set on a separate stage, but they brought us on the main stage to just come out and do Jordan Belfort. And that was sick. I mean, playing in front of that many people. But then there's also just been great experiences. Even recently, like I love my recent shows because I get to perform a catalog of music that I'm much more confident in and much more happy with than anything I was able to perform during the Jordan Belfort tour. Because part of the thing for me is that I didn't have a whole lot of music out there before Jordan Belfort. So it wasn't like I had like a years and years of a catalog to make, you know, perfect my sound and style and approach. And so now when I perform, it's like, you know, it's just a different type of fun because I've got all this dope music that I'm really excited to get out there.
So have you ever met him, talked with him, chatted at all with Jordan?
Yeah, I was on the Wolf of Wall Street podcast with Wes. We did that last year and it was pretty cool. We went out to LA and did his podcast. We talked about making the song, how it affected him, you know, everything about it. Before I met him, he didn't even know where the song came from, right? And so I think he thought it was pretty cool to realize it was just two young guys inspired by the movie to make the song, right? And so that was awesome. It was actually when my family had moved out to California last year, we were able to figure out how to connect with him and then get in touch with him. And then he brought me and Wes on the podcast. So good old fashioned networking. It took like 5 years after the song had been out, but we ended up getting on his podcast. And so that's out there on YouTube for anyone to watch.
Do you feel like the song's had a resurgence in the past year? I actually feel...
Yes.
And do you know one of my theories for why? Maybe you have some theories. I think TikTok.
The Robin Hood thing with TikTok. And yeah. And I guess, I mean, TikTok is a big part of it. That's a little bit of a longer time frame. I think like specifically the thing that happened with Robin Hood created this buzz around investing. And that just made the Jordan Belfort streams tick up ever so slightly that it was noticeable. I'll put it that way. Like, it's not like Jordan Belfort streams doubled overnight when the Robin Hood news came out, but I did notice that when there was all this hype about investing, Jordan Belfort ticked up. But, you know, like, I think TikTok's really good for it. I think that even like what you're building with your business is kind of like this whole era of digital finance and online investing. And I think Jordan Belfort, it's really gone on a run to solidify itself as like one of the top investing songs, like a college banger, but only people under 30 get it right now. Right. So I think it still has some runway to like, just keep blowing up as digital finance takes over the world. Right. That's what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I make TikToks for the wolf and I use it all the time. Like I've used it twice in the last week, probably.
Dude, you gotta tag me. I love it. That's awesome. Yeah.
So like these things are happening.
100%.
Yeah. And then with the streaming and everything, has that, and then I'll go back to crypto in a second. Has that been a, you know, really nice source of like passive income to have these songs that are out there? I know that the deals with places like Spotify and others have changed consistently over the years. What's that like? And you know, is there a nice passive income coming in that you can invest with?
Yeah, so it's a very complicated landscape. But here's what I can say is that you can make a good amount of money off Spotify and streaming, especially when you do self-distribution and you use something like DistroKid or Too Lost is what I use, where you can get 100% of the revenue. But with Jordan Belfort, like I mentioned, we took a deal with a record label. And so we don't see anywhere near 100% of the revenue that comes from that song. And so, you know, it's still a nice paycheck that I get in terms of passive income. It's a small salary that I get from the Jordan Belfort song. But if I would have owned 100% of the song, maybe it wouldn't be as big as it is now. But it would be the difference between getting a small salary and like being a fully paid a salary from Jordan Belfort, right? So like right now it's a nice passive income, but I need other income sources. But the song has made millions of dollars for the record label. And so I only see a small portion of that. And you know, hindsight's 2020, but at the end of the day, it gave me the experience and foot in the door I needed to create Crypto Rich and everything I've built now. So I would say it's just a matter of time until I start to see similar results from my other work, right? Part of my story and what I learned through this process is like a song like Jordan Belfort to the outside world seems like it blew up overnight. To me, I saw it take 2 years to go from 1 to 1 million, you know, like to the first 1 million streams, it took like 1.5 years. But then over the next 6 months, it was like everywhere. So it's interesting how that happens. And I think good music really is here to stay. Like, and that's a deep saying, because I think it's kind of like if a song is really good and you put it out there, like people will find it and it will last and it will stay, right? So that's what I really believe. And I just try to give my music the best platform to have that success. And even with Jordan Belfort, when we were just some kids, like I was still trying everything I could to get that shit out there, playing it for my friends or trying some little new promotion service I found on the internet.
That's amazing. Yeah, no, it really does show. And it's incredible to know that, you know, because to me, it felt like, yeah, like it blew up. Like I left college with like Jordan Belfort and I Love College by Asher Roth, you know, like those are just like the classics, right?
Those are like the classics. And right. And it's amazing because like I Love College was there for years before Jordan Belfort. But now someone who's in the right era puts them together, just like you, like as someone who was recently in college, right? But if you talk to someone who was in college like 5-10 years ago, they might not even know Jordan Belfort the song, which is really interesting, right? But everybody from college down to high school now definitely knows the song from TikTok, from the internet, from whatever. So it's interesting to me. I think we need like another generation to like go by before the song solidifies itself as like a long-term hit, right? It just takes, it goes through these different levels. It's interesting.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it got shown to me by my college roommate in freshman year, so which was 2016. So, you know, not too long after. Right. Okay, let's bring it back to the crypto real quick. So you bought Ethereum, right? This is like 2016, 2017-ish?
Yep, around that time, 2016 okay. is when I bought Ethereum.
Fantastic. So you're in before that first spike. You got Ethereum, you got Bitcoin. Walk me through the next 5 years of you buying and selling and getting into crypto. Are you going into other ones besides those? Are you holding? What's it look like?
Okay, let's start by saying first thing I did was make every mistake in the book that you could possibly make to lose money while trading or holding crypto. So anything wrong that you can think of happened to me, like getting hacked, you know, losing some crypto that way, sending something to the wrong address, like investing in shit coins, you know, getting into something that's a scam, but getting into ICOs that did huge multiples, or getting into, you you know, Gollum at, you know, just fractions of a penny and it blows up, or getting into some of these awesome coins that were really successful. So I think I had a pretty average crypto experience, right? I would say that's what everyone experiences in crypto, but it was exciting and new. And I knew that I wanted to create a business around it. I guess a way to put it would be, I've always been trying to make products based on crypto or services based on crypto that weren't directly related to holding crypto, right? So with Advantage Blockchain, it was like, okay, can we monetize our knowledge and can we invest for people and do these other things? You know, we tried mining at one point. That was a complete failure. We set up the whole mining operation. We tried it in like North Philly. You know, the power cost wasn't amazing, but we just wanted to try it. And it really was not, it was too technically difficult for us. But we tried all that different stuff. And I've done staking, masternodes, DeFi, NFTs. But anyway, I love the crypto space. I've learned a lot. I've helped other businesses learn how to use crypto. And that ultimately led me to making the Crypto Rich album, because when I got into crypto, I kind of felt like I was done with music. I went on this big run with Jordan Belfort. I went on tour. That was coming to an end. I was going back to school in New Orleans. I was finishing my finance degree. And I just figured that, like, I don't know, maybe I wasn't done with music, but I was probably going to get a regular job and just continue on. But then crypto really took off and I realized that crypto was going well. And I ultimately came to the realization that, you know, as great as crypto was going, I was really into music and I wanted to be a music artist. And I had this big platform already. I had a platinum hit, you know. So then I ultimately came up with this idea. Well, why don't I just rap about crypto? And so I didn't even know this at the time, but I was the first artist to release a crypto album and definitely the first crypto rap album. I think the first crypto inspired album ever. So in 2019, I dropped Crypto Rich, and then I kept making crypto music. And in 2020, I dropped Crypto Rich Deluxe, which is the current version now with 19 songs and the version that I created an NFT around.
Talk to me about that. You created an NFT around an album. How did it work?
Yeah, so I always knew NFTs would be an interesting thing to do with my album, but I just didn't understand how to do it. You know, it was one thing putting together a crypto music album, and it was almost like people didn't even understand what that was. Like, I would tell people, oh, I made an album about crypto, and they're like thinking it's either some kind of nerd rap or like some kind of meme thing. But I think that it's really, as more and more people hear it, it's really established itself. Like, it's an album inspired by crypto. It's still my story. It's still pretty true to those kind of like hip hop pop roots that I come from. And it's very relevant to Jordan Belfort as well. But I think just like Jordan Belfort, it has that quality of being like good, fun music that's lighthearted, but it's also not like complete nerd rap about finance or complete dork like kind of rap that's just about finance. And people get the wrong impression with Crypto Rich. But then when I started to find these NFT communities, right, NFTs started blowing up, I would say 2020, 2021, you know, last year or two is when they really blew up big. And I would go into these communities on Spaces, on Clubhouse, at first it was Clubhouse. Let me get it straight, right? At first I was getting on Clubhouse. And finally I would tell people, hey, I made an album about crypto. It's called Crypto Rich. Everyone would get it like immediately because these are NFT people. They get this crypto art thing. So as I started to get into the NFT communities, that's when I really found an audience that could like appreciate and understand the Crypto Rich album without too much thought or without too much confusion, right? Because there were crypto people that would understand the album, but the NFT communities is when people really started to see what I was talking about.
Very interesting. And so did you get into NFTs? Because really, you know, NFTs obviously in the last 2 months have just like skyrocketed. Were you like holding a bunch of NFTs that appreciated in value?
I wish I was, but I kind of missed the wave on some of the best ones. Like, I could have bought a CryptoPunk for you know, under 10 Ether, but I missed that opportunity because it still seemed expensive when a CryptoPunk was, you know, 5, 10 Ether. That's a lot of money to pay for a CryptoPunk, it seemed like at the time. And similar with Bored Apes, like I missed that one. I was probably a little bit too focused on my own NFTs and not focused enough on collecting other NFTs. And I mean, look, the only time anything ever goes up that much is when no one expects it to. So that I would say that, you know, it was awesome. And I'm so happy for those communities. And I certainly wish that I had gotten in on more of that. So yeah, but I'm holding plenty of NFTs now. I had made some good investments and I would say they're doing pretty well. And what's exciting is that at the end of the day, I managed to raise as much money using my NFT as I got from my first record deal, right? And I was able to do that without giving up a major ownership of my music. And ultimately, what that allows me to do is to make the content and the music and all of the promotional material that I need to make my album even bigger and drive that value back to the collectors of my NFTs, right? So yeah, go ahead.
Are these NFTs audio NFTs? Are they?
So they're audio-based NFTs. The best way to think of them is they're a collectible based on my album. So it's almost like a different type of merch. It's a different type of item that I'm selling. The music is still there, just like any other music. It's on Spotify, Apple Music. I have YouTube videos, music videos. I'm still doing everything I can to promote the music and make sure that Crypto Rich becomes the biggest crypto album in the world. Like I said, it's the first crypto album ever released. It's the biggest one as well. It has 2 million streams right now on Spotify. And so my goal is to make sure it's the biggest album. And the way that it works is that the collectible is like a rookie card for me, essentially. So as I make more albums and different work, I'm going to keep releasing different NFTs based on my whole catalog as I go. And so the idea with Crypto Rich is that it's my first NFT based on the first ever crypto album. So it kind of has that historical value as an artwork, and people can, and it also comes with VIP features, right? So this is what's unique to my NFT compared to a lot of other NFTs is it's more than just a collectible artwork that you can resell. You know, it's very cool as well. It's a, you know, it has a video, it's a moving artwork with audio and it has original music in it. And so, you know, a lot of NFTs don't have original music and moving art and all this stuff, but also it comes with the VIP program. So anyone holding the NFTs gets to do meet and greet at my shows. They get access to exclusive merch, and hopefully I'll build out an exclusive ticketing platform in the future that will actually have features on my website where they can sign in with the NFT and get access to all these benefits. So there's a lot more as well. I have a whole community built around my NFT. And so it's a lot about connecting with me and being able to talk crypto and really just creating that closer connection with my collectors. So those are just extras, right? People buy NFTs because they're collectibles that can ultimately be resold in the future if the story around them and the content behind them gives them value, right?
Yeah, that's great. That's great that you're adding tangible value behind the collectible. That's what everyone should strive to do for their NFTs.
Right. I mean, but people tend to go like one way or the other. Like people will look at it like, oh, well, why do I want to pay all that money to just get your VIP program? Well, it's like, no, you're kind of missing the whole collectible side of it. And then the collectible people, I think they like to have those extras, right? So I think long term, when people are looking at collectibles, they're going to say, okay, well, I like this music collectible because it comes with all these benefits as well. Right. So I'm really trying to be an example for how other music artists can do their NFT. I think the real cool thing here is like we can create a whole system where it's like you can make bets on artists. You can buy artists' rookie cards and hang on to that collectible and hopefully make a profit or get rewarded for believing in that person early. So that's what I think is super exciting about NFTs is you really are building a whole financial economy around artists.
100%. Gosh, I have so many questions. Okay. So awesome. First off, do you, so you feel like you're pretty early on in your music career. You're kind of like still in that, like, I'm like, there's a lot to come. That's the mindset here.
100%. I mean, Crypto Rich was my first album. Like it was my debut album. So I see myself making a lot more albums going forward. You know, I am still early in my music career. You know, I've had a multi-platinum hit, but at the same time, it was a unique experience for me where, you know, it was kind of almost like a viral one-hit wonder type of thing. And so I have to figure out how to get out of that situation, because it's a lot easier to make a career when you have 10 albums out and then finally one song hits, because you get millions of people to come listen to your 10 albums. But when you have barely any music out and you haven't even learned how to, you know, solidify your music process, and then you have a song hit, people just come and they don't have anything else to listen to. You don't have anything else to monetize. You know, if I get another hit as big as Jordan Belfort, or let's say even bigger, Crypto Rich gets even bigger, I know the demand is going to be so high for my NFTs and my shows, and it'll be right back on touring again and all that stuff. I feel like I'm very early in my music career.
Awesome. Why the name Famous Dill?
So Famous Dill is just my Instagram and Twitter handle. I go by Dill on everything else. So when you look at my Spotify, it's just Dill. I just go by Dill. I just put Famous Dill for, you know, fun and shock value, I guess. But I don't know. I've been thinking about it. But anyway, the name is just Dill. And so on most places, I actually just go by Dill other than my handle.
Okay. Very fair. So you're running this crypto advisory firm. Somebody comes in, they're like, hey, in like 1 to 2 minutes, you know, explain blockchain to me. What do you say?
Yeah, I would say that blockchain is a way to make payments across borders around the world, a global payment system. And it also enables different types of finance, like the ability to create programmable money. So money that you can actually create computer programs within and set conditions on whether or not the transactions go through.
Cool.
That's
smart,
pretty much
smart contracts.
Yeah, that would be my short explanation of what is crypto and what is blockchain. But, you know, then that always turns into a 20-minute conversation.
Right. Which cryptos do you own currently?
I own several. So Bitcoin, Ethereum, I own some Dogecoin, I own Binance Coin, I own PancakeSwap, I own Atom, I own a bunch of other coins. I own a bunch of NFTs, which is kind of like I think of it like a hedged Ethereum bet, or not hedged, leveraged is what I mean. It's more like a leveraged Ethereum bet, definitely not hedged. That's kind of what my portfolio is like now. I have some Coinbase stock as well. And then, yeah, somewhere in that story there, I also got invested in the regular stock market. So this was actually in the crypto run earlier this year, after we had the big run up around New Year's 2020-21, then that's when I got some stock investments. But I've been slowly getting into the stock market over the last couple of years. What happened for me is I had big success with crypto early. I should have taken more profit into US dollars and put it in the stock market or just anything more stable than crypto, because then when we went down, I was definitely not well protected. And so that first bear market that I went through was a couple years long, and that was definitely tough for me to get through that. But, you know, we've had some great experience since then. And so now I'm just trying to prepare a little bit better for the long term.
Definitely. Okay. Random question. Are there any artists that are on like your target? Like, I am going to collab with them at some point. Anything like that?
Oh man, that's hard, man. There's so many artists. I mean, I would love to collab with some of the great artists. Everyone's talking about Drake and Kanye. Like, of course I have dreams collabing with some of the top artists in the world, but I also like other artists. Like there's Young Thug I really like. There's some other kind of more artists in my wheelhouse, maybe like Russ or Mike. Mike just put out one of the best albums of the year, I think. And so I think that's really cool. Shout out to Mike. But there's just so many different artists I would love to collab with. I collab with a lot of great Philly artists as well. And but I think it's interesting. We're just starting to see more people make music about crypto and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see where the Crypto Rich album will ultimately take me, because I just know, I'm just confident that once that album gets some circulation and exposure, people within the music industry and people that I look up to will see what I've been doing and like probably hopefully want to connect, just to be like, all right, this is the guy who originally made music about crypto and like it's pretty fire music. I think everyone's going to be talking about crypto one day in music, just like they talk about money now.
Definitely, for sure, escalating, especially as I think like the thing that, you know, with a lot of the music that we're talking about, which is more rap and hip hop, is inspired by specific audiences often who I think are getting more into crypto.
It takes time, you know, it's like just like the Jordan Belfort thing. I mean, I keep going back to that, but it just takes time. And I'm seeing that Crypto Rich is taking even more time. Like it's definitely going to take a few years before people can really catch on to this concept and even understand, because right now people don't even understand what crypto is or why they'd want it. So it'll take a while before they can really understand that people are out here getting crypto rich and that there's some real substance to it and it's not just some scam.
So what's your research process look like? You know, how do you figure out whether something is viable?
Yeah, you know, I just ape in, bro. I just try to ape in.
Is that what you tell your clients when you're advising them?
Nah, so anyway, you know, we do a lot of research. I am actually not the main one that's in charge of the fund. So Mark Cuspack, he does a great job with the fund. I do a lot of research myself. I would say actually a lot of information comes from Twitter. So that kind of keeps me updated on what's new, what's trending, what to look at. But beyond that, of course, reading white papers is a good way to go. Looking at websites, learning about teams, kind of learning the background about a project and learning as much about the technology as well. You know, with crypto, I would say years of experience is important, because it's easy to spin up a project that sounds like a really good idea, but you have to have a little experience to know if there's like four or five other projects that have tried that and might already be out there using that narrative, let's say. So, you know, I as someone who gets a lot of crypto pitches and hears a lot of projects, I would say there's always someone trying to sell you an idea that's been done before, right? Like, one that comes to mind to me is just like a social media token, like a token that's used for like tipping on social media, like one of the most common things that sounds really cool on the surface. And everyone's like, oh, that'd be so cool. But, you know, there's so many different companies trying to do that in various different ways now. You even see it getting like almost natively integrated on things like Facebook.
Well, Dogecoin, right? That's how it got big, through tipping.
Yeah, well, kind of, but it's funny because you could say that, but Dogecoin, I would say is more of like a meme in and of itself. Like, it's like, definitely it has that social element, but they're not promoting it as like the new social, like tipping currency with some kind, like as if that's utility. Like I like Doge because it sticks to the true, like, look, this is a meme token and like everybody knows it. And like, this is what it is. It's a meme token. And like, I just love that ethos in the sense of like, I never wanted to take Doge seriously. I just, you know, thought it is what it is, a meme. But earlier this year, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to put an investment in Doge because I think it's going to go to a dollar. And so I still think we'll hit that Doge dollar and beyond.
Yeah, it definitely was created as a joke. I actually had the opportunity to speak with Billy Marcus, who was the creator of Dogecoin. I even asked him why the Doge, what inspired that, and he had like a whole answer with like a roommate and a beer can, and I don't know, it was like long. But so two questions off of that. First, when did you get into Doge?
I got into Doge. Well, I mean, I've been in and out of Doge a little bit, but earlier this year, I got into Doge, and I'm right now in an LP with Doge BNB on PancakeSwap. So I've been LPing using Doge, and I got in at probably like 15 cents, like not too far from where it is now on a dip. I didn't catch the big run up.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was trading Doge at under a cent, but I sold like, I actually bought a lot of Doge at 1 cent And then I sold at like six or seven. And then
I never had like a lot. Like back in the day, I had some at really cheap, but I was just messing around. And then I bought a little bit earlier this year when it was a couple cents, but I sold out too. I didn't touch the.
Very tough to understand that process and to follow it. Okay. So I know that you mentioned you have the first album out for crypto. Do you know what the first song was out for crypto? The first one that I know of is Satoshi Nakamoto by Grammatic, which was like the best. I was listening to that stuff back in 2016, like before the crypto run up. Was there any inspirations from like any songs perhaps?
Nah, I wouldn't say that's interesting. I don't really know. I know there's like one example would be the song Bitcoin by Soulja Boy.
I can't give Soulja Boy credit.
I use that as an example sometimes though, because that is another crypto song, but it only has 200,000 streams. Like I already have a lot more than that, but no, that's interesting. So Satoshi Nakamoto by Grammatic. Let's see that one.
That's I called what's his name out, Soulja Boy, because he posted. He said, I had the first ever song about Bitcoin. I said, no, you didn't. And I posted screenshots.
That's funny. Let's see if I go to the album. How big is this? Oh, see, that's crazy because this song has 11 million plays. That's pretty big.
Is that like decent? Like, I'm not sure, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot. See, there's a good example of a big crypto song that's an OG from 2016. This isn't a crypto album, but it's definitely a crypto song with a lot of streams. So that one comes up on my radar. But the Soulja Boy one's a lot smaller with 200,000 streams. And my album has 2 million streams. So that song's much bigger than my album. But again, I stick by my thought that it's different. Like one song about crypto is great. Like that's awesome that Grammatic did that. But I put a whole album about crypto. Yeah. Like I was willing to say, hey, if this crypto stuff tanks, my career is on the line. That's my first album.
Maybe we get something with you and Grammatic one day. Who knows? He's in Spaces. I've seen him on Twitter Spaces. He's liked my stuff.
That would be awesome, man. No, that's good vibes, like some Nola vibes.
Yeah, because he loves doing those beats where then rappers can come in over it. And I mean, they started off that song great. They're like, it starts off with like, F your shoebox money, we're buying whips with cryptocurrency. That's like the first line.
Wow, I love that. I love that.
Love to see it. Okay, cool. All right. So a couple of, I guess, more like next step questions. So like, what's the future now that you see for NFTs and crypto? Any like timeline come to mind on things? And then how do you see yourself fitting into that?
Yeah, well, I think crypto is slowly taking over the world. And it's funny because we kind of knew this was going to happen and we've been waiting for this and it is happening. But man, it's hard to catch every pump on the way up, isn't it? Like, I wish I had Solana. I wish I had a CryptoPunk.
Yeah. All these
things. But at the same time, like, it's great being in these crypto markets. It's enabled me to create a lot of wealth for myself and do a lot of awesome things in my life and for the people around me. So that's awesome. I think it'll continue to do that. I think NFTs are here to stay. I think they're going to get a lot bigger. I think DeFi is here to stay. I think DeFi is going to get a lot bigger. Like right now specifically, DeFi is not hyped enough, but everyone's all on NFTs, which are also going to be big, but I think DeFi has a long way to go. Like DeFi is so crazy, man, that you can just go on there and get loans and do all these services that a bank would provide. And it's funny because when you talk to like boomers in traditional finance about it, they just don't quite get it. But when you go on there and poke around and try it for yourself, it doesn't matter who you are, you get it and you see like, oh my God, this shit is going to change the world. So I think DeFi is going to be huge. Cross chain is going to be huge. So think like Cosmos, Atom, and what's the other one? Polkadot is another one. So anything cross chain, I think, is important. And then you can't go wrong just like buying Ether, ultrasound money. You know, every day Ethereum's being burned and the supply is decreasing. So those would be some of my thoughts.
What about Link?
Link? Yeah, great. I love Link. I got some Link as well, built on Ethereum. So I think you get some benefits with anything built on Ethereum. I think it acts a lot like a leveraged Ethereum bet. But Yeah, those, so those are oracles. Those are projects that are trying to connect like the real world to the blockchain. I think they'll be really big.
Yeah, love it. I mean, I did a podcast back in like May, maybe a little bit earlier, like March, April. It was right when there was like a nice size crypto run up into that. And I brought on this guy, David Zaler, who is like my like crypto guru, I would say. This guy has written over 1,000 articles on crypto. And So he really knows his stuff. And he like convinced me about like several of them. So I bought like Solana at like $40 and nice. Some God, others. Yeah.
Dude, it was expensive at $40. That's crazy, man. It's you know, it looks expensive at $40, but now you got $200 Solana.
Literally. So I wish I bought more. I bought, you know, a few hundred bucks worth, but every little bit counts. My favorite is like when I need to buy things in accounts that I don't check every day. Cause that's when like I end up making money. Like I bought that in a different account. So It's good. I haven't touched it. Like, and with stocks too, like I have some Upstart that stocks about to hit like $300 a share. And I just forgot I had like several shares just sitting in like an account somewhere. So that's the set it and forget it mindset. That'll probably work out for the best with crypto too.
Yeah, 100%. And I think tools like DeFi that allow you to sort of do that, but also make a little bit of income off of it will be really cool.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, man, I feel that sometimes it's just like set it and forget it's the best strategy. I mean, the truth is if I would have just held every Bitcoin and Ethereum that I bought from the beginning and done nothing with them, I'd probably be richer than I am now.
Life is full of learning lessons, right?
So 100%. You know what? Like I am really happy with everything that I've been able to build with my music career and actually build a brand around crypto. And so I think long-term that's going to pay off. I believe in investing in assets and investing in yourself. And, you know, that's the type of value that pays off long-term. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's what's important, right? Like, like you're doing with the stock market. It's like, how can you not just rely on the market, but also build a business around, you know, the tools that people need. I mean, kind of like the old, you know, you're selling pickaxes to the gold miners. You got to sell the tools and the art that people need. So yeah, I mean, I think it's great to bring people to the crypto space with my art specifically.
100%. And what are you working on next?
So I actually have like a whole nother album ready. I have more NFTs that I'm working on, but I feel like Crypto Rich ain't done yet. Like I feel like it needs more music videos. It needs just like more time to circulate. That shouldn't stop me from putting out another album, but it definitely just makes me say like, let me keep that album in the tuck, because if I can get Crypto Rich a little bit of steam going, then my next album will have that much more hype. But yeah, I've got a lot of things I'm working on, more albums in store, more NFTs. And of course, I'll always be grinding on crypto and stocks and hopping in your Twitter spaces and listening for the alpha, man.
Love to see it. Yes, absolutely. And I certainly will have more spaces on NFTs, crypto, and all types of things like that. Is there anything else maybe that I didn't ask or anything else you would want to share with the audience today or plug?
Well, first of all, stream Crypto Rich. Just go stream the album. Check it out. Stream Jordan Belfort. If you like it, you can check out the NFT. I would really appreciate the support, and everyone who's involved in that has been rewarded already and continues to get rewarded for that. But yeah, man, I appreciate you having me on. My website is itslit.org. So you can find the Crypto Rich album there and everything else. And my social media is @FamousDill. And yeah, man, we'll have to link up sometime when you come back to Philly or set up some shows at Drexel or something like that.
If I can come back to Philly, we could do the Jordan Belfort show for the Wolves team. We'll see what happens. But hey, man, if I'm ever around, I'll definitely hit you up and we'll make something happen. Appreciate you, you know, taking the time out of your busy day, coming on, enlightening, giving really a cool behind the scenes to something that was a really niche part of my life, you know, and like being a part of that song and having memories with it. And now I kind of get the behind the scenes. So awesome for me. I know my audience is going to feel the same way. Definitely plenty of them in a similar demographic to myself. So it'll really be hitting home. as for this, you know, this will be out shortly. People will have the opportunity to listen to it. To all the listeners, thank you for hanging with us through this. If you made it to the end, feel free to reach out to either of us on social media. Shoot us a DM. I know mine are open. I'm sure, you know, Dill's are open, and you'd love to hear your thoughts on Crypto Rich. And that's going to be all for today. Looking forward to being back with another awesome guest on another episode very soon. I was raised by the wolves.